Well, actually, I appreciate that clock. It's very visible. Otherwise, I would just ramble away. All right. Well, speaking of the mission work, distribution ministries that the Lord has given me, it kind of factors into the message this morning. There has been some things going on in that mission work. Been doing some deputation since I was up here last. And it's been interesting how the Lord's working. There have been opportunities to do some mission work, but it has not worked out in any instance. The Lord has said no. There had been a trip to a possible trip out to Oklahoma to drive a pastor and his belongings up to Alaska through Canada, but the Lord shut that down. The fellow tried to do it several different ways, so that I could drive one of his vehicles, and just did not work out any whatsoever. The Lord said, no, absolutely no. And it turned out that that particular pastor put those vehicles and items on a train, worked out being a third of the price of driving it. So the Lord has a certain way that he wants things done. Just takes a little bit of time sometimes to figure out his will. But as far back to the mission work, that's exactly the point that we're at also in our mission work, is we are on deputation and we're just trying to follow the Lord's will, and I'm trying to focus on deputation. It's sometimes difficult, as there's so much opportunity to do the Lord's work that I would like to be getting into that, but the matter at hand is deputation, so I need to focus on that. So be in prayer for that as I go through that. And I travel around to churches. We travel around to churches and present the ministry at different churches. That's just a brief update on the mission work there. So the message this morning that the Lord has given to me is when God says no. There are times in our life, there's times in my life anyway, that I know that God absolutely says no. Without question, the answer is no. There's no if, ands, no question, just no. When God says no. And as our text this morning, I'd like to go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. God has a will for every one of our lives. And I believe that whether we're saved or lost, He has a will for every one of our lives. And for a lost person, the beginning of His will for your life is that you come to Him in salvation. So God is not going to say no there. So we'll pick it up in verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Lord, I come before you this morning and would ask that you bless this time, Lord. You've brought us all here at this appointed time, Lord. Pray that you would bless my lips, Lord. Give me the words to speak. And I do pray, Lord, that you would work through this message, Lord. We read out of your word, Lord, the word that you've given us, Lord, so that we can know your will. I do pray, Lord, that as we come before your presence this morning, Lord, that you would just fill this place, Lord. Help me. Help me today. Help your people, Lord. We all have questions in our lives, Lord. We all need answers. We all have these nagging things, Lord, that weigh on our minds. Lord, what should I do? And sometimes the answer is no. I just pray, Lord, that you would deal with us this morning, Lord, and help me, Lord, as I preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we see here in these first three verses that David has been given rest from his enemies. He's not in any trouble at this point in his kingdom. There's nothing going on, nothing negative. And the king wants to do a thing that has, I'm sure, been on his heart. It's been on his heart, been weighing on him. He wants to do what he considers to be the right thing. So he confers with Nathan the prophet, and he says, I have a nice house, a house of cedar. But the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. It's in a tent. I think we should build a place, a proper place to put it. And Nathan says, out of hand, this is all gone on without prayer here. Nathan said, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And we can see that the Lord is with David. It says so right in the first verse. And the Lord had given him rest. The Lord was with David. But there's some times that a thing that we want to do, it appears to be the right thing, and it's a good thing, but it's not what the Lord wants of us. Let's read on a bit before we get in further into it. In verse 4, and it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I have brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. So, in this passage here, David wants to do what he considers to be the right thing, and it was a good thing. But the Lord didn't want David to do it. We see, before we get into the message, I'd just like to speak a little bit about no. In each one of our lives, I'm sure we're thinking right now, a thing that we want to do. And the Lord may or may not have said no yet, but in the past, there have been things in our lives that the Lord has said no to, something that we dearly wanted to do. I can think of several things. Think of vehicles in the past and things of that nature, things I wanted to do. And the Lord said, nope, can't do that. It all depends on perspective. We can see things from our own limited worldly perspective. I think of a story that I have read about glass, simple window of glass in a cathedral, the Notre Dame Cathedral in France. And it's in a particular chapel, the Saint Chapel, the Chapel of the Saints. And the outside of the building is dirty, and it's not much to look at. If you look at that window from the outside, it's a very drab looking window. Not much to it. But if you go inside, and if you look through that window when the sun's shining through it to the inside of the building, it's a very, very different looking thing. It's a much more wonderful looking thing. And that's exactly the way that I've come to view when the Lord says no. It's simply from the perspective of how we look at it. If we look at a thing from His perspective, we can see things in a much clearer light. We can see that He has much broader view of things, and He can see things that we cannot see. He can see how that thing that we want to do will affect ourselves and others much further down the road. So we need to keep that in mind when God says no to us. There's a lot of things that we can do that might seem to be the right thing. Just keep that in mind through this message. Let's go to 2 Samuel, and, well, actually, y'all don't have to turn there. I had a lot of time on the flight, so I wrote down a lot of these references so that y'all don't have to turn. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 10 and 11. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons. And they built David an house. So David didn't even have to lift a finger to build his house. Didn't have to use the children of Israel. The Lord blessed him from Hiram, the king of Tyre. And I'm sure that it was a very great house that was built for David. And that's how David was looking at the Lord's house. It says specifically, I dwell in a house of cedar. So he wanted to build a similar place for the Ark of God, for God's presence to dwell in. And then moving on to 1 Chronicles 15, 1 and 2. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Now in this passage we see that David has built him other houses, and not only that, he's mindful of the Ark of God. He wants to take care of that Ark of God. In other words, it's in his heart to do the right thing, not only to take care of his own self and those that he has to provide for, but to take care of the Ark of God. And he did what he knew was right at that time and pitched for it a tent. And then you can also see that David said none ought to carry the Ark of God. Couple chapters before this, here in 15, none ought to carry the Ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the Ark of God. We can see that Uzzah, when he reached forward to catch the Ark when it was on the cart, it was falling off the cart. God killed him for that. So we see that God has a certain way for things to be carried out. And it's laid out right here in this verse. God is not interested in doing things according to our plan. He's not interested in us putting our will onto what he wants us to do. In other words, he's not interested in us doing things for him in our will, our own will, and our own way. That's just means of introduction there. I know that everyone here has their own will for their life. And they have a way that they want to do things. I'm sure everyone here has a way that they want to do things for God. In this church, I can tell that y'all are seeking God's will in your life. But we have to be sensitive to when God says no. Now, the first thing I see here is David's desire. In verses 1 and 2, he has a concern for the return of the ark. In verses 1 and 2 of 2 Samuel chapter 7. He's concerned. He desires to do the right thing. That is his strong desire. it's on his mind. The Lord has given him rest, and he wants to use that rest to take care of a thing that he sees that needs to be done. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 17, "And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord." David's desire and concern was to do the right thing. And in Psalm 132 verses 4 and 5, "I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord as an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob." That's David's own words right there. He would not rest until he had done what he thought was the right thing, until he found out a place for the Lord. And then we see the condition of David. We see that house of cedar that he has in verse 1, 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1. We see that all of his enemies were conquered. He was in a good place right then and there. And then we see that he was exalted king over all of Israel in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 12. "And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake." So David was in the place that he knew he was in the will of the Lord. He knew that he was blessed of the Lord. He had a habitation, his enemies were conquered, and he was the rightful king of Israel. He knew that. The Lord had put them there. It was a noble, sincere desire, a holy desire, but without prayer, what David wanted to do. We don't see where David had put any prayer into it. Perhaps he had, but it is not said right here. He did the right thing in going to Nathan and asking what it was that he should do. In Haggai 1, verses 2, 4, and 9, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house." And that is God's words right there. He's speaking that, yes, he does. He does want a house. But it's in his time and his way and his will. In Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." David was prospering right here. David was doing the right thing. He was walking according to the word of God, according to God's will. And it was a good thing that he sought that counsel, because without that counsel of Nathan, he may well have gone on and built the house of the Lord and done what he was not supposed to do. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." So he did right in seeking counsel. He went to the man of God to seek counsel. And that man of God, it seemed like a good thing, but the Lord spoke to him. And that's often the case that I find when I have a question, and I go to my pastor or some other man of God with that question. The answer seems obvious. It seems painfully obvious. But that's not God's answer. And then moving on, we see God's answer. We see that it was quickly given. that same night. And it came to pass that night in 2 Samuel 7:4. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan. The Lord will give you an answer if you're looking for an answer. In 1 Chronicles 17:3-4. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell David my servant, Thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. So here I'd like to see that it was a commendable thing that David wanted to do. In 1 Kings 8:18. And the Lord said unto David my father, Whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. So God commended David for wanting to do that. It was a good thing. And it was a thing that God did accomplish in his own will and in his own time and in his own way. Not through David. He did use David, as we'll see, but not to build it. And then we see the explanation. Why? Why did he not allow David to build it? In 1 Chronicles 22:8. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. God always has a reason for what he wants done. And he may not want you to do a thing. There will be a reason. And we may never know the reason why God doesn't want us to do a thing. Not here on this earth. But God does have a reason. And here we have the explanation as to why he did not want David to do it. David was a man of war. Then we see David's cooperation. We see David's response. It was not rebellion. He went on to gather materials for others to build. In fact, that's covered in several chapters in 1 Chronicles 22-29. Those chapters cover that gathering of materials. David went through great trouble to gather all those materials, and it was a lot of materials. And that was God's will for him, to gather those materials together for his son, Solomon, to build it. Then we see that in 2 Samuel 7, back to our text, 2 Samuel 7:6-9. We'll read that again. Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. We see that we need to remember God's blessings. Don't sulk because God said no. There's no reason to be angry at God, to be even put out because God says no. That's not what I want for your life. It may be a thing, a good thing, that we're thinking of right now. Whatever's in our mind right now. There are many things, as I said before, that have ran through my life that I thought was the right thing for me to do. But remember all those blessings. Remember how that God was with, here in this text, God was with Israel. He didn't require elaborate temples as the gods of Egypt as they walked through the wilderness and in the early days as they were conquering through the land of Israel. He did not require a fancy house of cedar. He didn't need it. God has an appointed time for things. And then he was with David. We see that he was with David in 8 and 9. God took him from the pasture to the throne, from the shepherd to the king. And he had communion with him. And he gave him victory over his enemies And then God exalted him. And why was it that God exalted the name of David? In so doing, God exalted his own name. And that's what we should be looking for, to exalt the name of God. And that's kind of the perspective and the lens that I would have us view our life through. The thing that we want to do. Is it something that would exalt the name of God? Then we see God's promise, the wonderful, everlasting promise in verse 11. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. He says to David, I don't need you to build me a house, but I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to make your name great, and not only that, I'm going to give you an everlasting promise. And the first thing I see there, God's not interested in something like an earthly building. He's interested in something more lasting. That's what he offers David here. It was undeserved, I'm sure unthought of. David had, at this point in time, I'm sure he was not thinking of having Jesus born through his line. He was simply wanting to build a place for the Ark of the Lord to rest. He wasn't seeking that. But God has a completely different thing, a better thing. A more far-reaching, as your pastor mentioned this morning already. God's plans are infinitely larger than anything we can imagine if we'll just get in his way. We see that what that thing was that he was offering to David was a royal family. In our text chapter here, verses 11, 16, 19, 25, 27, and 29, he promises David that royal family will last, will be everlasting. And then we see that Davidic covenant in verses 11 through 16. I won't read that for sake of time. But we see that promise affects everything in Scripture and to mankind. And it's the key to God's plan of history. That promise right there includes Jesus. That's what he offers to David. And it's affirmed by the prophets in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And then, of course, Gabriel announced that to Mary in Luke chapter 1. 30 through 33, and we see the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, in Matthew chapter 1, 1 and 2, and that's the seed of David right there, through Mary, of course. We see in Psalms 89, again, back to the Psalms, what David wrote, Psalm 89, and verses 29, 36, and 37. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. And it shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. A witness of what? A witness of God's power. A witness that God keeps his promises to David. All David wanted to do was build a house for the Lord. But God goes, again, referencing the pastor's message this morning, God goes way further than that. Much further than David had on his mind, I'm sure. And then we see that this was sealed with an oath in Psalm 89 and verse 35. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. God will do what he says. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 30, therefore being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And we see what it all comes down to is Christ, right here. And that forever promise could only be fulfilled in the Messiah. There was no man that could sit on David's throne forever and offer an everlasting kingdom in Acts 13 and 34. And this also, of course, covers the children of Israel, but it also speaks to us as Gentiles. It offers us salvation, ultimately. You might think that that's a far-reaching thing that we're getting out of David's desire just to build a house for the Lord. But it's right here in the text, right here. It's all laid out. That's what God has for David, for us. And we see that it's all marked by prophecy. I apologize. We see that it came through the seed of a woman in Genesis 3:15, seed of Abraham, Genesis 22, verse 18. And it's mentioned he's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10, the son of David, 2 Samuel 7 in our text, and that he was born of a virgin in 1 Samuel 7:14. And then we'll mention the time element. All this happened and is happening in God's time. All of these things that are laid out here in this passage. And that's a simple thing that we can see. There's no question. God works on his time. And that is definitely not the same timetable that we work on, because we are finite. We have a limited time. We have a limited view, and our perspective is worldly. We see through eyes of flesh. And then, lastly, I would like to mention David's humility. In 2 Samuel, back to our text chapter, 2 Samuel 7 and verse 18, we'll pick it up. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? This has taken David by surprise completely, I'm sure. He's like, I just wanted to build you a house, Lord. And you're promising me all of this. Took him completely by surprise. We see in other passages of Scripture, as I was studying this out, David mentions that several times. He has that question, Who am I? He did not feel that he was worthy. And what is our question today to the Lord? Are we worthy? In this flesh, no, definitely not. We are not worthy. David was humble. Reading on in verse 19. And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. God knows us. God knows exactly what to expect of us. But he also knows that his power can be shown through us. In verse 21, For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. God will magnify himself. In verse 22, Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things, and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord God of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. So we see here David's humility in 18 through 20. We see his adoration in 22 to 24. And then he has an intercessory prayer for the people of Israel that God will carry it out. How do we pray to God when he says no to us? Do we come grumbling before him like, well, this is what I wanted, Lord. I don't understand. Of course we don't understand, because we cannot see everything that is entailed in what the Lord has planned for us. And we need to be ever mindful of that the Lord only has our good plan for us. And that may include death. That may include all manner of things that we simply don't understand. But God does have an answer for us. God says no sometimes. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the application, how we can apply this to our lives, Lord. We all have questions. We all have desires. We all have things in our life that we are sure are your will. It seems to be the very right thing to do, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we would examine our will through the Scripture and through your guiding Spirit, Lord, that you would guide us into all truth. I pray, Lord, that we would be sensitive to your working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.